Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
The title of our message today is Remember. Perhaps an alternate title could be The Four R's of Communion. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, loving Father, you reach out to us in tender mercy. You love us with a love that is even more than we can comprehend. You have given so much for us. And Lord, we want to connect with you today. We want to commune with you. We want to dine with you. And so, Lord, our prayer is that you draw us close and help us to have that living connection. Help us to hear your voice. See your face. And Lord, our desire is to know you more. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit guides our hearts and minds now. In Jesus' name, amen. You have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to notice what it says in verse 23. The Apostle Paul, who was not one of the original disciples, he did not travel around with Jesus for that 3.5 years of his ministry. But notice that he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Paul had that Damascus Road experience with Jesus. And along the way, Jesus was ministering to him. Jesus was giving him a mission to go out and share the gospel with the Gentiles. And Paul says to us, "I heard it directly from Jesus Christ, that on that night, when he was in that upper room with his disciples, that he shared with them, and he gave them and he gave us a command." Did you catch it? Did you see it there in verse 24? Jesus said, "Take and eat." It's a command. And as we partake in communion, as most all Christians do, we are participating and we are celebrating our relationship with Him. And I wonder if we could answer a question today, and that is, why do we partake in communion? And I want to suggest to you that there are at least four reasons. The first reason we see here in verse 24, Jesus said, "Do this to remember me." Paul is describing this Last Supper, and interestingly enough, Jesus is doing two things in that Last Supper. First of all, Jesus is interpreting something old. He is taking them back to Exodus chapter 12, and he is interpreting the Passover meal, where he is describing that first Passover where it was announced to the whole community of Israel there in Egypt that on the 10th day of the month they were to take that lamb or that goat and they were to take the blood and put it on the doorposts of the house. And thus, by doing, the angel of death would pass them by. But that meal also included unleavened bread. Leaven was a symbol of sin, and so they were to have unleavened bread that they were to partake of, and Jesus is describing that Passover meal. It's not inferred there, but also the wine was a part of that meal. And not only is Jesus reminding them of the past, but now he is instituting something new. The Lord's Supper was quickly a meal that became a celebration in the church, celebrating the fact that Jesus, the Lamb of God, had become their Passover lamb. All of those lambs that were pointing forward to him were now meeting their reality. And so Jesus is telling us, do this in remembrance of my sacrifice for you. There was a young West Point graduate who was sent to the Vietnam War. And as he arrived there, he was assigned over a group of men that he was to take into battle. And he did the very best job that he could do to try and keep those men safe, to keep them from being ambushed, and while they were in the battle, to try and keep them as safe as possible. And he did his job to the best of his ability. But then there was one evening when the battle was the most fierce, and all of his men, he was able to keep them safe during that battle except for one man. And that man was caught in the fight and he was wounded. And while this young lieutenant and all of the other men were in the trenches that they had built and they were safe, they could hear that wounded man crying out in pain. But everyone knew that to go and try to save that man would be at the peril of their own life. And so finally that young lieutenant crawled out of his trench, out of his foxhole. He crawled over to the man safely. But then he picked that man up, put him over his shoulder, and was running back to the trench. And just as he got there, that first lieutenant was shot and killed. And the man fell off of his shoulder and fell into the trench. And the fight went on through the night, but in the morning the enemy began to back away and they were able to get that man who was injured to the hospital. They were able to get him to the medics who were able to help him, and they saved his life. And now that man who had been injured returns to the United States, and that young lieutenant's family heard about him, that their son had saved his life and that he was in the area, and they invited him to come over to their house for dinner to see them. They wanted to meet the man that their son had given his life to save. And the man came over, and when he first arrived at the house, it was obvious to them that he was drunk. The man was rowdy and obnoxious. He gave off-color jokes, and he showed no gratitude whatsoever for the sacrifice that their beloved son had made for this man. The evening went on, and the man finally left their home, and as the husband and father closed the door behind him, the mother collapsed in tears. And she cried out to think that our precious son died for somebody like that. And I want to suggest to you this morning, brothers and sisters, that that's what Jesus did. He gave his life for someone like you and me. He gave his life for the whole world. And there are so many like me who were ungrateful, unthankful, didn't consider what he had done. But you and I are called to remember. To remember the sacrifice that he made for us. And so as we share communion this morning, we want to remember. And number two, we also want to rejoice. Look with me at verse 26. The Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, he's saying to us, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Many of you recognize the name Max Lucado. He's an author who has written many books. He wrote one called 6 Hours One Friday. And in that book, he tells a story of a missionary in Brazil who discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of the jungle. They lived near a river, but the tribe, when he discovered them, they were in great need of medical attention. There was a contagious disease that was ravaging the tribe, the population, and they needed medical help immediately. And there was a hospital that was nearby, but it was on the other side of the river from where the tribe was, and the tribe would not go near that river because they believed that it was filled with evil spirits. And when the man, the missionary, when he discovered that, he was trying to take them over to the hospital, but they wouldn't go. And so he took them all down to the river, and he put his hand in the river. And he pulled it out, and he showed them that it was fine, that nothing happened to him, but they were not impressed. And so he walks into the water up to his waist and he splashes water in his face and he says to them, "See, it's okay." And still the people wouldn't believe. And so he dove down into the water and he swam across the river underneath the water. And when he came out on the other side, he shoved a fist high into the air to show the great victory that he had had over the river. And all of the people in the tribe started cheering. And now they followed him through the river. And he was able to take them and get them the medical attention that they needed. And I want to suggest to you this morning that that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and me. Jesus went to the people in his day, and he was telling them that they need not fear the river of death. He went and he touched the dead body of a young boy and raised him to life, and still the people did not believe. He went and he whispered into the ear of a dead girl and raised her to life, and still the people did not believe. There was even a man who he allowed to go into the tomb for 4 days, And then he went and called him forth, and yet the people did not believe. And so finally, he himself entered the river of death, and he came out the other side. And this is what we celebrate today in communion. Every time we come to the Lord's table, we rejoice that he went through the tomb himself and he came out the other side to show us that he is the author and the giver of life, and that we can have that hope in that resurrection ourselves, even though we may go through death ourselves. We especially think about that at this time of year when Easter is coming up, and what do we say? We rejoice because he is risen. He is risen. And so in communion, we celebrate the fact that he died for me. He died for you. And we rejoice that the grave could not hold him. And so we remember, we rejoice, and also we repent. I want you to look with me at verse 27 and 28. The Bible says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Our coming together today and sharing the opportunity to partake of communion gives us the opportunity to examine ourselves. And as the Holy Spirit shines His piercing light in anything in our lives that is unworthy of the body and the blood of Christ, we have the opportunity to repent. The opportunity to turn away from the direction that we have been going and ask God for forgiveness, that we might celebrate His sacrifice for us in a worthy manner. In 1818, one out of every six women who were delivering a child died of something called childbirth fever. One out of six. And there became an understanding in the process of this. It was discovered that the majority of the doctors began their daily routine in the autopsy room. They would be dealing with dead and decomposing bodies, and then they would go out and they would make their rounds and visit their patients, and many of them were getting sick and dying of the infections that were being brought on their dirty hands. And it was that way until a doctor by the name of Ignaz Semmelweis began to practice strict hand washing, and he was the very first doctor to associate the lack of hand washing with the huge fatality or mortality rate. And so Dr. Semmelweis only lost 1 in 50 of his patients, yet his colleagues laughed at him. Once he said to them, "Childbirth fever is caused by decomposing material conveyed to a wound. I have shown you how it can be prevented. I have proven all that I have said, but while we talk, women are dying. I'm not asking for anything world-shaking, only that you wash your hands. Yet virtually no one believed him. Communion is a time for us to confess our sins, to wash our souls before God. And it is essential. It is essential because if we fail to confess our sins, the result is going to be spiritual infection that could destroy us. Today I want to invite you to repent, to change the direction that you are going. And you may not feel worthy. You may not feel good enough to partake of communion, but the good news is it's not about your goodness. It's about the goodness of God, that He would lay down His life for you. And so we share communion to remember, to rejoice, to repent, and number four, to be reconciled. Look with me at verse 29. The Bible says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We need to realize that we are all a part of one body. We are a part of the church of Jesus Christ. And if we have resentment or we have conflict with others, when we come to communion, we are bringing judgment upon ourselves. And so it is an opportunity for us to be reconciled to our brethren. To make sure. I love the way Jesus said it when he was talking to the people of his day. He said, if you have something against your brother and you bring your lamb to be sacrificed, leave it there. Go reconcile yourself with your family, your friend, whoever it is, and then come and give your offering. And we would do the same thing in our day. It is the opportunity for us to make things right. As sinners in need of a Savior, we often hurt each other. We often say something that offends. And so communion is an opportunity for us to not only examine ourselves, but to examine our relationships, to make sure that we are right with our brothers who Christ died for. And so, we are all a part of one body. I heard a story that took place many years ago involving the Duke of Wellington. He was there in his church and they were having communion, and he went up to partake of communion, and as he kneeled down, there was an elderly gentleman that came from the other side of the room, and he came and he kneeled next to the Duke of Wellington, and immediately there was tension and commotion that erupted within the church because this lowly man had gone and kneeled next to the Duke of Wellington. And there was immediately someone who came up and put their hand on that man and whispered in his ear that he needed to move away from the Duke, or he needed to get up and wait for the Duke to be done. And the Duke of Wellington, knowing what that touch on the shoulder and what that whisper in the ear meant, grabbed a hold of that man's hands and he held him down. He would not let him get up. And he looked at the man and he said, "You and I are equal here at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, we're equals. We're all in this mess together. And so today we want to remember. We want to rejoice. We want to repent. And we want to be reconciled to one another. Amen? And then there's one more verse I want to look at. Look at verse 33. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but that's why when we have communion, we pass out that bread and that juice, and we wait until everybody has it, and we commune together. I hope that as we go into our service, that you will think about those things. We want to remember. We want to rejoice. We want to repent. And we want to be reconciled. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, loving Father, Lord, you are so good to us. And Lord, we know that we don't deserve it. It is a gift of God. But we receive that gift. And we want to commune with you today. We want to remember the sacrifice that you made on our behalf. You gave everything so that we could be saved. Lord, we want to rejoice that the grave couldn't hold you, because we have that hope of the resurrection ourselves. And Lord, if there's any sin in us, bring it to the surface. Help us to turn from it. Help us to repent and to be saved. And Lord, we want to be reconciled to each other and to you. And Lord, our prayer is that you would draw us close together as the family of God. Draw us close to you. And may you be glorified in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.